Canucks Central Friday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? Visit kintec.net. And should you want to be a part of the program, you can. We appreciate your comments into the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox, 650-650. Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and reno warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at dunbarlumber.com. As the weekend approaches, the Canucks getting ready to kick off their six-game road trip. It begins in the nation's capital tomorrow night in Ottawa. Let's get to it. It's the Open on Canucks Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh, that's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
I called for the Open. It's muscle memory.
I was like, what happened?
It's totally muscle memory. Yannick Hansen is going to join us in a couple of minutes. So right. The Open will be after 4:30.
Yes, coming up at 4:30.
You know, I appreciate our technical producer, Arash, because I called for it. He's got to hit the note. I called for it. It's on me.
It's his job.
This is my mistake.
His job is to, you know, act as,
yes.
Like, he follows commands.
Yes.
You know, he understands the chain of command.
He's you know, I can't believe I made that mistake, to be honest with you.
I thought Yannick had been moved down to 4:30 or something, and I looked over, I'm like, are we having Yannick now or at 4:30?
This was all me. I am clearly in a mail it in Friday kind of mode.
Yeah.
We do have the mailbag Friday coming up just after 5 o'clock. So get your questions in 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. Let's bring in our next guest. It is our Friday analyst, Yannick Hansen, and he is brought to you by the Magnuson Auto Group, Metro Ford, Port Coquitlam, and Magnuson Ford in Abbotsford on both sides of the Fraser to serve you. Thanks for this, Yannick. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty well. Canucks getting ready for a six-game road trip. It's been a bit of a tough go. We know a lot of the absences that are going through the lineup, and looking back to the other night's game against the New York Rangers, you know, they played pretty well, didn't come through in big moments, but you saw that this team is going to have a hard time finding results with all the absences they currently have.
Yeah, it's one of those things. You have close to 20 million removed from the lineup right now with Brock, JT, and obviously Demko. That's tough to swing for any team under the best circumstances. So this is one of those situations where it's survival.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get too far behind in the standings. Keep plucking away. 500 hockey when you're missing this much is not necessarily a bad thing. Just stay afloat. Again, don't question, doubt yourself and everything. Injured players will return and things will correct itself, if you will. So find a way to overcome this adversity. And sometimes you can kind of rally around it as well. You look at your line, it's like all these guys are out now and looking up and down the bench, who's going to get it done. And, well, somebody's going to get an opportunity now. Somebody's going to get more ice time that they wouldn't have otherwise. And this is their moment to shine, if you will.
Yeah, and I think you have to view it as an opportunity and doing your best. And I think the player who we've talked about so much so far this season is Elias Pettersson. He has been playing a lot better recently. This would be the time, though, wouldn't it, for him to really try to show that he is a guy you can count on and get through tough times like this when you have so many key players missing.
Yeah, if there's ever a time for him to step up and fill a ginormous void from three other players, this would be it. And again, this is, again, a lot of it hinges on how he plays and stuff like this. And it's, you don't want to put it on one guy, but prove him that hey, Petey, this is your team now, obviously not by himself, Quinn's still there. And 16, 17 other players, but in terms of up front, this is going to fall on him now, and it's obviously that's not fair. That's not the way it should be. It should land on 12 forwards, 6Ds. But right now, with the guys out and the way the season started, you're going to look to him an awful lot. You're going to look to him for leadership. You're going to look for him to anchor and man the power play, get that running with Quinn and whoever the other three are. But it's a lot of things going to fall on his plate now.
How have you liked the look with him and DeBrusk and Kiefer Sherwood?
Kiefer Sherwood have been outstanding so far. Come as advertised, a ton of physicality, finish every single check. I think he's his production is obviously above what we would have expected from him. Because of that, he's finding himself playing with talented players. Doesn't look out of place. Like he does the nitty gritty stuff that a lot of skilled guys like. Get in on a forecheck, turn pucks over, get it to them. So again, he's found himself a spot right now, and one of those success stories early on in the season. DeBrusk still looking to find his form where he fits in. Mm-hmm. The goals he scored on that California trip obviously helped him in terms of getting in on the team, getting the first one out of the way, feel like you're contributing. So again, it's you're going to look to that line. There's no question about that. So hopefully they can find a way to produce consistently and fill some of the void left behind from JT and Brock being out right now.
We've seen similar things in the past, right? We saw Burrows, how he kind of moved up and became a player who could play up your lineup alongside the Sedins, and he was really good at forechecking, good defensively, broad pace, and got to the dirty areas. You did a lot of similar things too when you moved up the lineup. Do you see an outcome for Sherwood where, and I'm not saying he's going to be Burrows and score 25-30 goals or anything, but do you see an outcome that he could maybe make this stick and kind of be that type of third guy on a line that did the things that you and Burrows did for skill players?
He will move around the lineup. There's no question about that. I don't think in any given season coach is going to pencil him on a top line or top six role. His play would dictate that. And when he's going, when he's producing, he's going to get a chance. And all of a sudden, he doesn't score a game or two. No biggie. You drop him back down in the bottom six, and he won't lose a beat because his game is not centered around being fed in the slot or getting these nice plays off the rush. He plays the same way, which is what will make him successful. And then again, it comes down to how good are you at bearing these chances. Because when you play with skilled players, talented players, they will give you pucks in position opportunities where you're supposed to succeed, where you're supposed to score. When you don't, somebody else will get that chance. So it's one of those things. How good are you at executing those opportunities? But his game won't suffer if he doesn't. It just means now you're playing in the bottom six and then you're more dump and grind kind of guy. And then once in a while you can fill in.
I guess we've seen Garland continue to have success, even scored the other night against the Rangers. Probably the player that's maybe underwhelmed me the most this season, and maybe by extension you could see that in the coach's deployment of Nils Höglander, but this is a spot where the Canucks need him to find a little bit of the success he had last year, because they just, with all the injuries, all the absences, they don't have enough depth in their lineup, and they really haven't been able to count on Höglander for much lately.
No, and there's no place to hide now, which is the thing which can make it even harder for players like that are struggling a little bit. Now all of a sudden you're cast into the limelight, and now it's expected, and now it's not a bonus anymore. Again, Höglander's knock has always been the consistent scoring. He looks good, he works hard, gets in on the forecheck, gets chances. It's his finishing that has held him back in recent time. And you did mention or allude to that last year, it did come a little more consistently, 20-some goals, which is great considering no power play time. But again, that was going back further back. It was him not finishing his chances. So you hope that, again, another player who can step up and fill some shoes here that need filling. Again, any scoring now, any production is a godsend, if you will, because it will come. It will be a little harder to count on certain players to go out and produce like you could at certain times. So JT, Brock, you can almost count for them for a goal every game. Now we find one or two elsewhere in the lineup, and now we got the three that should give us a win. Now you're kind of rolling the dice and hoping that you get those three goals anywhere in the lineup, which is it's easier said than done. It's hard to do. And again, the problem always from bottom six, middle six forward is consistent scoring. It's the hardest thing to do in this league. And now we're looking to 10 forwards in theory that are those type of forwards to score consistently.
Have you seen enough from guys like Ratu and even Archdeep Baines to feel comfortable with Miller missing and Besser missing to even throw that fourth line out there for a regular shift? Like if they have to go with, for instance, Ratu, Sasson, and Baines coming up in the game, have you seen enough from a couple of those guys to feel comfortable for them taking a regular shift?
Regular shift means 10 minutes. You should be able to get them out there and protect that. But again, I'm not counting again. Like I just spoke to, like the goal scoring, I'm not expecting those guys to score any goals or produce. If they do, great. But again, you're more so looking for as a lung now. Get them out there once in a while, get the other guys a little bit of rest, and then throw the other guys out that you're hoping can produce a little bit. Ratu, Baines, they've filled in admirably, look good at times, but again, playing in the National Hockey League is a very hard job, and doing it consistently night after night, back-to-back, six-game road swing, is very, very challenging at the best of times. So they're gonna get pushed now. They're gonna get taken advantage of. Late changes, last changes, all of these things now that you can't really protect. Your good thing about Ratu is he's good in the circle, so I'm not too worried about him all of a sudden getting caught on an icing. He should win this faceoff and then clear it, kind of thing. But carrying play 5-on-5 is where you're a little bit worried now if they get caught on the ice for extended time against top line, second lines that are looking to score. Ice will get tilted.
So Max Sasson's going to get into his first NHL game, undrafted, college free agent. Nice little story. He told it today when he spoke after practice. How nervous were you for your first NHL game? Of course, it was in the playoffs, game two against the Dallas Stars. How nervous were you when you got the call like, hey, Yannick, you're going in?
Yeah, I didn't know what to do with myself, to be honest. I was strolling around, what was it called, Polo Park Mall in Winnipeg. We were getting ready for playoffs ourselves. We had a couple of days there to get ready. So it was the furthest thing from my mind. And that's, again, I had a really, really good camp that year, and I think I was one of the last forward who got cut a day or two before the regular season started. So I thought, okay, I'm right there. I'm gonna get my chance here in the NHL this year. And the whole season went by without my name being called. Tons of other call-ups and stuff like that, but not me. Obviously, playoff comes around, and now I'm like, okay, this isn't happening now.
Right.
Maybe next year kind of thing. And then out of the blue, four overtime periods against Dallas and 3-4 injuries, and now the call comes. So it's one of those things where there's no leniency. Normally, when you see the first game played, it's fun. The guys have fun with it. Warm up by yourself. Take a spin. Everybody is congratulating you. Don't worry about too much. Go out and all these things. Enjoy the moment. Your parents are here and all these things. With me, it was like, we need to win this game. And there was no backpacking. You need to do your job. Make sure you. It was like, so it was a little bit different where when I played my first game, in the regular season, the following year there, it was a whole nother feeling. We're joking around across the dressing room and all of these things that you're kind of expecting or knows happening. But for my first game against Dallas, that was not there. It was business, and make sure you don't F up.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a great story, Yannick. And, you know, we talk so much about JT being the emotional leader for this team, and he's not here on this road trip. And as far as how guys can step up, you can't ask somebody who's not an emotional leader to become an emotional leader, but how do you try to fill that void as a locker room or as a leader on the team with him not being there?
That's probably the hardest thing. You can't, because it's pulling guys out of their comfort zone, and it'll look awkward, and guys won't respond to it the same way. Because if you're never the loud rah-rah guy, and all of a sudden you stand up, it doesn't come natural. Guys will look like, what is this guy doing? It is almost impossible to force out. Guys can have outbursts, don't get me wrong, where like, what's going on here? Why are we not? And then sit down. But like, that part, if it does not come natural, you're not doing it. Because it also takes you out of your comfort zone. Now you're doing other things, taking you away from your game. So that's gonna be sorely missed. You almost hope that one of these guys they're bringing up or coming in has a little bit of that loudness to them, because all it takes is a guy on the bench patting shin pads up and down, cheering on block shot and all these things. We had a guy, and I just lost his name now. He did not play a lot of games. He came from Hershey, Washington. He did not play a lot of games with us. And he got called up, and I'm going to text you the name when we're done here. But anyways, he was phenomenal in the dressing room. And like I said, 10 games maybe is what he got, but he was vocal. He was chatty. He had all these one-liners, and guys just swallowed it up. So some guys just have it and can do it almost no matter what dressing room they step into. But again, if you don't have it, you can't manufacture it.
Yannick Hansen, our guest here on Canuck Central. And one of the things we did see, like, Quinn's never going to be that guy, right? He's never going to be the emotional guy. But first shift against the Rangers, he's like, all right, jump on board the Quinn Hughes train. I'm going to try and carry us here. And he scores on the first shift. But, you know, ultimately, you need a little bit more from your teammates. And, you know, Quinn can only do so much, as we've seen all year. The Canucks are more than fine when he's on the ice, but it's more so when that Susie Myers pair is on the ice. It's just whatever can go wrong seems to go wrong for them right now.
Yeah, it has not been good as soon as that first pairing leaves the ice. And it seems like sometimes they try to split them up and see if they can carry them that way. But again, in a perfect world, Myers is probably a third pairing D, and Susie has somebody who can carry him, kind of thing. But you're missing that D. You're missing the common presence of Yakol. Sidorov, when he stepped in and what he filled there, you're missing that missing link right now between Quinn and Hronek, and then down to Myers and Susie. And again, forward has not been the issue, the solution. Dehane has not been the solution to this. I will give it, Branstrom has been much better than advertised. He's come in, he's done well, he's produced, he's not looked out of place defensively. So he's been a find, if you will. But again, you need those two, Myers and Susie, to find some sort of stability, keep the puck out of your net at least. You don't need them producing offensively or these things, but just don't sink the ship.
Okay, so I'm trying to guess the player. Was it Steve Pinizzotto?
No, it was not Pinizzotto, but he played with him.
Okay, people are texting him Matt Pettinger. It wasn't Pettinger.
No, it wasn't Pettinger. It's later than that. He's my age.
Okay. We got some more digging for us.
I thought it was Pinizzotto for sure, because he did play 12 games.
Yeah. Pinizzotto was up, but he was not vocal,
right,
in that sense. He just was kind of a jack of all trades. He could score, he could fight, he could hit, but it was not Pinizzotto, no.
All right.
And he's got a couple of cups with Hershey. Down there in the American League.
Okay. All right, okay, I'm going to bring it up. I'm going to just go through these.
We're just going to have to keep digging then.
You can throw names.
Was it Brian Helmer?
No.
No.
Oh, man.
He was on that team as well. Okay.
I'm hoping. Zach Dalpe?
No.
No.
No, he'd never played in Hershey, not when I was. It was back when I was in the minors, too. They were really good for a number of years there early on, back in like 06, 07, 08, Hershey Bears.
Was it Andrew Gordon?
Yes, it was Andrew Gordon.
There we go. I got it. Andrew Gordon. Finally, I thought for sure it was Pinizzotto when you said 10 games. I'm like, oh, Pinizzotto, you played 10 games, Hershey. But yeah, okay, Andrew Gordon. That one makes sense.
How many games did he have?
Gordon played with you guys. Let's see here. With you guys, he played 6 games in 2012, 2013.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been right around that mark.
Yeah, and he played for a few teams in the AHL, but yeah, he won 2 cups with the Hershey Bears, that's for sure. Yeah, and he was on that Capitals team too.
Well, we figured it out. The detective, the detective work was sound from Satshaw today. Yannick, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much for this.
Yeah, sounds good. Take care.
There he is, Yannick Hansen, joining us here on Canuck Central. Andrew Gordon.
Yeah, Bick just texted in too and said Andrew Gordon, so found it, Andrew Gordon.
I was just trying to like find Capitals and Canucks players, and I was
right.
Like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't even know if Andrew Gordon came up.
Yeah, they would have won a couple of Calder Cup trophies. Yannick's AHL history memory is strong.
That is strong, yeah. Kurt North Van, Yannick is the best. Give this guy another hour.
His first game story, pretty unique, you know, and the way that his career turns out after that is pretty wild, because he plays 10 playoff games, and then he only plays 5 regular season games for the Canucks the next year.
Yeah.
And then he finally like really becomes an NHL record regular in 09-10. So a really unique come to the NHL story for Yannick Hansen.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, we're going to ask him next time, but he got hurt, I think, the next year in training camp or early. Where he got sent down, he got hurt early, and then by the time he got up, like it was one of those things where, you know, it didn't quite align, but then the year afterwards, it took him a couple of years after the playoffs to really establish himself, right?
And for a guy who was drafted as late as he was, incredible to have the career
unreal.
That he did. And now he's our analyst every Friday, and as most of the listeners continue to text in, they absolutely love when Yannick is on every Tuesday and Friday here on Sportsnet 650. All right. I promise you the Open is coming up after the break. I screwed it up enough, but we'll try to get to it again. It's coming up next on Canucks Central.
For real this time.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there. Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drans. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.